ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 39 चैप्टर एंटाइटल हिरण्यकशिपु द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस। या इच्छयेषा सृजतीदम् अव्ययो येव रक्षति अवलुम्पते च या तस्या बलाकृतनमाहुरीषुत् चराचरं निग्रहसंग्रहे प्रभु येषः सृजातिदमव्ययो येव रक्षति अवलुम्पते च या तस्या बलाक्रीडनमाहुरीषु तु चराचरं निग्रहसंग्रहे प्रभु ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन द बॉय एड्रेस द विमेन ओ वीक विमेन ओनली बाय द विल ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड who is never diminished, is the entire world created, maintained, and again annihilated. This is the verdict of the Vedic knowledge. This material creation, consisting of the moving and non-moving, is exactly like his plaything. Being the Supreme Lord, he is completely competent to destroy and protect. Purport. In this regard, the queens might argue, if our husband was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when in the womb, why has he not been given protection now? To this question, the answer is, Yayichayesha srijati tamavyayo yaye varakshati avalum pate chaya. One cannot argue with the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is always free and therefore He can protect and can annihilate. He is not our order carrier. Whatever He likes, He will do. Therefore, He is the Supreme Lord. The Lord does not create this material world at anyone's request. And therefore, he can annihilate everything merely by his will. That is his supremacy. If one argues, why does he act in this way? The answer is that he can do so because he is supreme. Nor one can question his activities. If one argues, what is the purpose of this sinful creation annihilation? The answer is that to prove his omnipotence, he can do anything. And no one can question him. If he were answerable to us concerning why he does something and why he does not, his supremacy would be curtailed. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी। वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग विद द नरेशन ऑफ यमराज taking a form of a small boy, addressing the women who are lamenting for their lost husband. So I'd like to take blessings and permission from the assembled Vaishnavas, trying to attempt to speak on this verse. So here, in the purport, Prabhupada is elaborating the mood, the thinking what the women are having behind asking this question. The previous verse to this, Yamaraj as a boy argued or trying to pacify or addressing the women by saying that, see, we are all simple boys and we have got faith that Supreme Lord is protecting us in the womb. So why are you losing faith with the Supreme Lord? We don't have a fear that what will happen to us, because Lord is protecting us even within the womb. So why he will not protect us? So to reply to this, the ladies who are suffering for the lost husband are asking the question that if we say the Lord is protecting you within the womb, why he did not protect our husband when he came out of the womb? Why he is dead now? So this is a question. The Prabhupada is answering this question by a very simple answer. Prabhupada says that to this question the answer is, one cannot argue with the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very straightforward, simple answer. That if you ask the Lord, you are protecting in this particular time, and the person is not protected at this particular time, then how we can be, what is the logical answer for this? Prabhupada answered this question that the Lord cannot be questioned. Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would use this frame, transcendental autocrat. Krishna is a transcendental autocrat. One cannot question his activities. That is an amazing conviction of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the whole parampara. That when Prabhupada would start the Bhagavad Gita, the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada would boldly present, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. The spirit of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada would start writing the Gita, and his audiences are going to be skeptical Westerners. His audiences would be non-believers, philosophers, and Prabhupada would not care. That I am presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada at least theoretically accept Krishna as a Supreme Lord, otherwise one cannot enter into the spirit of the Bhagavad Gita. So uncompromising approach. So here the answer for this question is also uncompromising. That you cannot ask Krishna why he is doing what he is doing. Otherwise, the logically Prabhupada says, why, if he were to answerable to us concerning why he does something and why he does not, his supremacy would be curtailed. Straightforward answer. So that is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Ranath Maharaj ki jai. I am already a little nervous to speak on Simha Guru. Now furthermore, please pray for me. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his purport to Srila Brahma Samhita, in the last verse, he very boldly proclaims the supremacy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. In fact, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is also a personality, a very broad-minded person. He accepts the truths of Vaishnavism from all places. In fact, in his headquarters in Mayapur, he recognized the position of the great Vaishnava Acharyas of the past and also established their deities around the temple altar. But in order to establish the supremacy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, in the last purports of Brahma Samhita, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that all the Acharyas have given their understanding of the proper relation with the Supreme Lord and that of living entities. But all these explanations have their limitation. He is including these explanations of the great Vaishnava Acharyas of the other Sampradayas. He is saying that there is some mental speculation involved even in the teachings of the past Vaishnava Acharyas, but in the teachings of Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pure teachings are revealed. So he is addressing to his followers, so please, all of you, that be faithfully follow the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. So here, we can easily see that in the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, things are very clear cut. No question of any kind of doubt or any kind of ambiguity. Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. In fact, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that in the previous Acharyas, in order to defeat the Mayavadi's conclusions and in order to logically present the Vedanta Sutras, have given various philosophies, namely Vishishtadvaita, Shuddhadvaita, Dvaita of Madhvacharya. They have given their philosophies in a logical way, but all these philosophies, because they are trying to prove in a logical way, and their intentions are also appreciated by the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We even quote their quote their scriptures. We are grateful to them. But from the neutral point of view, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur addresses that because they are trying to present logically these things, there is some imperfections even in their explanation. There are some imperfections in their explanation. But Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur establishes in the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, this is the highest perfection of explaining the Supreme Lord's relationship with the living entities. Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. And the reason is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given his philosophy the name Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. That straightforward, no doubts and very simple philosophy, Achintya, accept the truth that this explanation of trying to understand the living entity's relation with the Supreme Lord, first of all, this is Achintya, cannot be fully explainable or understandable. In fact, all other Acharyas have given their logical points of view. Vishishta, Dvaita, Dvaita, so many philosophies they were given. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives that this is fully, it is not comprehensible for the living entities to understand and the full knowledge of the relationship with the Supreme Lord. So first he puts Achintya. And then Bheda and Abheda is oneness and different simultaneously. So the whole philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is based on straightforwardness and humility. There is no kind of trying to prove with our logical brain. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in the purport of the last verse of Brahma Samhita that all other acharyas' explanations, including the Vaishnava acharyas headed by Vishnu Swami Nimbarka, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, their philosophies have a very heavy word he uses, have the principle of mental speculation, because it tried to prove the relationship between the living entities, the material world with respect to the Supreme Lord in a logical way. But they have some limitations within them. But the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are complete. So all of you have, he is addressing his followers that have full faith in the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu. Why? This is the whole philosophy is based on humility. One time I was speaking to one scholar from the different sampradaya that our philosophy is Achintya Beda Beda. So he immediately said that I think all other acharyas are trying to comprehend the teachings of Vedanta Sutra, and it is very difficult to put everything together. Some say Lord is one with the living entity, some say Lord is completely different, some say one and different. So I think you are very intelligent. You just put Achintya, so no question of any further explanation. Very inconceivable, so you put Achintya. So he was kind of putting down the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the word Achintya does not mean that it is, we can't understand it, just leave it aside. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada and all the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have written volumes and volumes of books that how the word Achintya does not mean that sometimes if you see that if you don't know certain things, if you don't know the knowledge of any particular subject matter, we say I don't know. Two people can say I don't know. One person who really don't know anything about that, he says I don't know. Another person who knows so much, but he doesn't know where to start from. And he may say, I don't know. Both are not the same. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives his philosophy, Achintya, that does not mean that it is, we don't know who is Krishna. We don't know what is Krishna's relation with the living entities. The example given, two persons were sent to find the greatness of the ocean. First person went and he saw the ocean was so vast, and he decided it is very difficult to comprehend the ocean and don't even attempt it. He came back. Another person went, he traveled into the ocean in the ship, he dived deep into the ocean, and he did so much of activities, research, and came back. Both of them were asked, so now please tell your experience, what is the ocean? First person said, inconceivable, we can't understand it. Incomprehensible. Second person says, the ocean is bluish in color. The ocean water is so vast. The ocean has so many aquatics within its belly. And the ocean have pearls and so many jewels within its belly. And describe the ocean so much. Such a ocean which is vast, so much of qualities, is still incomprehensible and still inconceivable for us to understand. So now both of them gave similar answer, inconceivable, incomprehensible. But is it both of them are the same? No. Similarly, when Achintya word is used, that Krishna is inconceivable, and the other philosophers may also say God is inconceivable, incomprehensible, they are not the same. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, when it say inconceivable oneness and difference, it is actually knowing Krishna so much. Krishna's qualities, Krishna's personalities. The Buddhist conclusions also say, Supreme Lord is anirvachaniya, beyond explanations. The Mayavadis also say, he is inconceivable. Don't even talk about that. Words cannot describe him. But both of them are not the same. When we say Achintya, inconceivable. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his teachings, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, the perfect possible closest explanation of Krishna with respect to the living entities and the material world. And this is the teachings Srila Prabhupada is giving in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here in the purport we can see that very simple and sublime. That why Krishna is doing this? Why Supreme Lord is doing this? The queens are asking. And Prabhupada answers simply, because he is Krishna, one cannot question him. Otherwise, if you question why God is doing like that, then he is not God. Simple and straightforward answer. That is a legend of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna is Achintya. And Krishna is both one and different with the living entities. So this is the teachings based on humility and proper understanding. That don't speculate. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Sriman Mahaprabhu's teachings are actually perfect teachings which doesn't involve any brain substance. Don't poke our brain in the teachings of the Vedic literatures. Accept as it is. Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. And based on this humility, the teachings have come up. Otherwise, other philosophers have to a certain extent used their brain to substantiate their philosophy. So in this way, we can see in the philosophical level also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are based on humility. And in the practical dealings also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and their followers exhibited the quality of humility. Humility doesn't mean that no knowledge or no logical or no intelligent. But humility actually brings out the real logics, real intelligence. When you go deeper into that, humility stands far out. In fact, today being the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I like to just quote in this regard few points which we heard from Solas Radhanath Maharaj when he spoke sometime back on this particular day. Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually historically revolutionized the Gaudiya Vaishnava preaching, because he is the first person after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and after the Goswamis to organize the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta to be preached all over the Indian subcontinent. First person to organize. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami have given all these Vedic literatures, and he emphasized on the point of Yukta Vairagya, that how one should utilize everything which can be used in Krishna's service for the propagation of his mission. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur organized 64 Gaudiya Maths, and he preached effectively the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over Indian subcontinent. In fact, many things he started which are revolutionary. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one in the Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara have taken into sannyas order. Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started the sannyas order. In fact, even now, many of the so-called followers of Goswamis criticize, and sometimes devotees were also affected, that how that your ISKCON, which follows Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is not bona fide followers of the Goswamis. Because Goswamis never recommended sannyas, and your society is coming from a person who has taken sannyas. So many times devotees also affected by such kind of teachings. You are not actually giving the higher truths. But one act of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur of taking sannyas is actually the reasons were discussed. Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had revolutionized the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the tool he took to preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is by taking sannyas. At the time of Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his main preaching obstacles were Sahajism and Mayavad. These two things are the main obstacles of teaching of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Like Prabhupada would say that Prabhupada's main obstacles in the West was scientist and sense gratification, and in India, demigod worship. But Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's main obstacles in preaching was Sahajism and the Mayavad conclusions. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted to remove these two obstacles. So in order to effectively do that, he took to the sannyas order of life in front of his Guru Maharaj, Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted sannyas. And now, many people criticize why he did that. And so Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, again, his mood of sannyas is not that I want to go to the higher order. The Vaishnava conclusions is that to put your pure devotee within the Varnashram order is actually bringing him down actually. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching, Naham vipro nachanarapati napi vaishyo nashudro, Naham varni nachagrahapati napi vanasto yatirva. We are not actually, the pure Vaishnavas are not belonging to this either of the four Varnashra ashramas. Actually, they are beyond the Varnashra ashramas. They are Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. To bring anyone into the sannyas, into the Varnashram order is actually bringing them down from their highest position. One devotee mentioned it's like insult to call a Vaishnava within any designation of the Varnashram system. Because Vaishnava is a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord beyond the Varnashrama. Constitutional position of the soul is being a Vaishnava, devotee of Krishna. The Varnashrama actually puts some conditioning and limitation to the constitutional position of the soul. So, the parampara of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from the Goswamis and the further Vaishnavas, they are being the Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, they are actually situated beyond the Varnashan Ashramas. So, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually felt himself, even though he is a pure devotee, he is a great Paramahamsa Vaishnava, he kept himself, how can I compare myself as a Babaji or as a Paramahamsa Vaishnava like that of my superior Vaishnavacharyas, Gaur Kishodas Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji. How can I call myself as a Babaji? So he did not want to accept the position, even though he is qualified, he did not want to keep himself as one like that of his previous Acharyas. So what I will do, I will bring my position below them. So on the act of humility, Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted sannyas. It's not that sannyas or saffron dress in the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnava is a pride or is a high seat. Actually, it is humiliating oneself. It is humbling oneself. That Siddhanta says the mood is that I will put myself. How can I compare myself to the Babajis of Gaur Krishnadas Babaji or my superior Babajis? So this is one of the reasons why Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted the sannyas order. And the second reason is that he saw all around him at that time the Babajis, so-called Babajis, who supposed to be a Paramahamsas, who are following the Paramahamsa order, but they were not. They were keeping the dress of the Babajis, but they are all into the illicit activities. They are all into breaking the regulative principles. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also thought that he doesn't want to identify himself with the so-called Babajis. Just like the word Harijan is actually it's a pure word. Devotees of Krishna, the children of Supreme Lord Hari. But if nowadays we call anyone Harijan, he feels offended. The word is used like that. So the Babajis, at that time, in the dress of Babajis, in the garb of Babajis, were actually doing all kind of illicit activities. And the people in general, when they see Babajis, when they see this word, they feel kind of, they could not digest that. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to keep his identity separate from these so-called Babajis. So he accepted sannyas. Not for pride or prestige, just for sake of preaching. And secondly, he also gave saffron dress to the brahmacharis, the Gaudiya mission. This is also for the sake of preaching. Because traditionally, sometime when the devotees accept saffron, brahmacharis, ashram, and they join, when they go home or when they go in the street, and the parents and the people, hey, he has taken sannyas, you know, he accepted sannyas, they feel afraid and they give respect as well. And the parents feel afraid. So the saffron color in India traditionally is given for sannyasis. The brahmacharis wear white. But Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur again started saffron in the brahmacharis for the sake of preaching. So many Mayavadis everywhere wearing saffron and preaching, and people are giving respect to them. So he wanted that people, the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread everywhere. So he wanted to increase the army of preachers who can preach the message of Lord Chaitanya. So he has very boldly, revolutionously, he started these systems, accepting sannyas, giving saffron to the brahmacharis. So this is the mood of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Simha Guru. And also, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur revolutionized the preaching by using modern amenities, modern facilities. He would use ambassador car, brand new ambassador car would be there to take him. He would go to Radha Kund in the car. Sometime he would wear coat. Sometime he would use modern facilities. So these things actually, those who are neophyte, those who didn't understand the spirit of the Goswamis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would see he is deviating from this principle. But Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would not compromise. Rupanaka virudh apasiddhanta dvanta harine. If anything deviating from the principles of Rupa Goswamis, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur being Simha Guru, he would not tolerate them. He would just bang them. In fact, and Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he got down from the train, railway station in the train in Madras, he put his can on the platform and he asked, where is this Theosophical Society? He would so powerful, he would literally shake the opponents. In fact, the personality of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is explained that he had the symptoms of the great soul within his personality. You know? The symptoms of the great personality is explained in the scriptures. You know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains how their body looks. You know, sharp nose, long arms. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had very long arms, and he would always sit straight. And when he glances, sometimes it is said that people would ask him questions, and he would remove his glass and seize them, and the particular glance would giving answers to them. His eyes were sharp, his chest were broad. It's a great personality. His bodily feature itself is a great personality. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would revolutionize by using the modern amenities. In fact, many so-called brahmanas and so-called traditional followers could not stand Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In fact, in the whole history of the Indian spiritual revolution, the past acharyas have spoken or attempt to do certain activities which they could not do, but Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the first person could actually to do that. One of that is giving initiation to the non-Brahmins, Brahman Diksha. We see in the past, this battle has been going on since time immemorial, that the qualification is not that of the birth, but actually by that of the qualification. Your guna and karma. But previously, nobody was attempting to do that because of the social pressure. The followers of all other great sampradayas, they kept this varnashrama system according to the traditional surroundings around them. Like Ramanujacharya wanted to accept Kanchipurna as his guru, who is born in a lower caste. But then because of the social pressure, his guru did not recommend, and he also accepted that I cannot do this. And none of them have actually, even they have a desire to break these social principles, this so-called social etiquette, but they could not do it because of the social pressure. But Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur revolutionized by giving the qualified person the Brahman initiation. So he would give Brahman initiation to those who are not Brahman in the families, in the Brahman families also, seeing their qualification. But this completely it created so many enemies for him. The caste Goswamis could not accept it, but he did not pay any attention to them. He went on with his preaching. In fact, when he went in Vrindavan for the parikramas, huge assembly of devotees, I think it is, if I'm not wrong, 10,000 devotees are going in the parikrama in Vrindavan. Many temples which were caste Goswamis, they closed the temple. In fact, many were throwing stones at the parikrama because he is giving initiation to the non-Brahmins. But Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would know the spirit of the Goswamis. He knows the spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would not compromise and establish this preaching. And even though Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was preaching heavily, at the same time, he is also cannot tolerate any deviation taking place even within his followers. He was preaching so much far and wide to increase the mission. At the same time, he cannot tolerate any deviations within the mission also. One time, the devotees were serving prasadam. So those who are first initiated the Harinam Diksha, they were given separate place for taking prasadam. And those who are second initiated were served prasadam in a different place. So Siddhanta Saraswati came to know this. And he said that why there is a difference. So they say, Guru Maharaj, they are Brahman initiated, Brahman devotees, and they are just first initiated. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur became furious. He said, actually speaking, that these devotees who are Harinam initiated, they're actually superior to you. Then he said, why? Because for them to go back to the spiritual world, they are chanting Harinam and they are going back to the spiritual world. But for you are chanting this Brahman mantra also. So you need some support system. So in that sense, they are actually superior to you. So in this way, he cannot tolerate any superficial deviations. And another time, the sannyasis were taking prasadam, and they had become a little relaxed. So then Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that the sannyasis should serve prasadam to the devotee. So sannyasis would serve prasadam. He is Simha Guru, Lion Guru. He cannot compromise any deviations in his teachings. Another time, the devotees were going out for fund collection. And one of the sannyasis went to the income tax officer and told him that, you please come with me. And if you come with me, wherever I go, the people would give me the money because you are income tax officer. So income tax officer said, I cannot come, you know, I am very busy. So the sannyasi said, okay, you give your car to me. So the sannyasi would take the car of the income tax officer and he would go to the marketplace. And in front of the shop owners, he would get on from the income tax officer car and get on. And people see, oh my God, the sannyasi is coming from the car of the income tax officer. They would give donations. And he would come and tell, I collected this much money. But then Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would not agree with this. That the genuine, honest donations of the people are more superior than this kind of devious method, he would immediately cut down the principles. At the same time, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even though he is very hard and very powerful in cutting down the deviations, his heart is also very gentle and soft. One time, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came for paying obeisances to the deities, and there was one new person who doesn't know, probably coming for the first time. She was standing in the front. So those who are kind of a guard for Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would kind of remove the crowd. So they just pulled that person and practically took him away forcefully. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that, why are you doing like this? He is a new person who he doesn't know that you may call me Prabhupada. He doesn't know. He is a new person. Let him pay obeisances. He is so sensitive. Another time, some new brahmacharis who joined the ashram, they went to Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and they asked for soap or toothpaste. So then Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came out personally from his room and went to the concerned senior brahmacharis and told that, arrange for these boys. So then these devotees become so angry that for soap and tooth powder, toothpaste, you went to Prabhupada, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So they were chastising them, and again Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur followed them, what are you doing with these new brahmacharis? And he told them, why are you chastising them? That they are new and you have not given them these things, so they know me alone, so they are coming to me, so what is the wrong in that? So don't chastise them. And sometimes Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would put mosquito nets for the temple devotees. In this way, he is very kind-hearted. And the quality of forgiveness of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Once I heard from Radhanath Maharaj a statement that regarding forgiveness, that one should forgive a person who is going against you, even the act is being complete. Even before the act is being completed, you should try to forgive. So high standard actually. Somebody is speaking some offensive words towards you. Even before the act is being completed, one's ready to forgive that person. So high standard. You can even to think is very scary. But the Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would have a very genuine nature of forgiving. One time, one devotee in one center, he made some mistake. So the temple devotee chastised him. And because he was being chastised heavily, he left the temple and went somewhere else. And now the new temple is going to open, this particular temple. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was called to open the new temple. And whole ceremony is being set up. The temple altar is new. And many guests were invited. The yajna kunds were ready for the installing ceremony. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came all the way, and everybody is busy in installation, and during that function, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur just asked the devotees that, I am not able to see this particular devotee is missing. Can anyone, what happened to him? Where is he? So then the devotees told that this devotee did something wrong, so we punished him. We chastised him, but he left without telling anything. So then Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur say that, I want to see this devotee. If this devotee is not come here, is not here back, I am not going to participate in this installation ceremony. So now the devotee is told Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj, later we will finalize this, now with the ceremony let it go on. He said, no, I want this devotee back immediately. So then they were doing some research, and somebody said that this devotee previously, he was working in a watch company. He knows how to repair the watch. So they went to many watch shops, and one place they found that this devotee is now repairing the watches. And this devotee is also feeling very bad that, how can I live without the devotee's association? How can I live in this without my spiritual master? So then this devotee approaches, Guru Maharaj is calling you. And immediately the devotee came, and Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very pleased. He would say that gallons and gallons of blood we are pouring to make one devotee. So how can we miss those devotees? So he is very concerned. He would say that the temples are important, but more than the temples, the devotees are more valuable. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking in New Vrindavan, and in his new palace is being constructed. And some devotees said that, Prabhupada, now we are making this temple, so maybe we should place gems and jewels in the walls. Just like in the Dwaraka, it is mentioned that the walls of Krishna's palace would be bedecked with gems and jewels. Prabhupada was laughing, and then Prabhupada became grave and told that my devotees are the gems in the temple. So in this way, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very kind-hearted at the same time. Also, when it comes to come for making his disciples follow strict things, he would be very heavy also. When you distribute, when you take prasadam, and the plate would be distributed outside, he would call the servant and he would ask, so who took which Mahaprasad? Who took Sandesh? Who took drumsticks? Who took this particular Mahaprasad? He would ask these questions. He would not compromise. Sometimes he would say, mix everything and distribute. No one should eat this particular item. So in this way, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his qualities are so many. But I would like to conclude by reading the last message he has given to his followers at the time of his disappearance. In fact, when he commented on Srila Prabhupada, he would say that, Srila Prabhupada, I know this Abhay Babu, Abhay Charan, because he would like to hear, he would never go away. This is a comment Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would make about Srila Prabhupada. And in 1937, when Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so he wrote a letter, Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. You have got many disciples and I am one of them. But they are doing direct services to you. Some of them are brahmacharis, some of them are sannyasis. But I am a householder. I cannot. Sometimes I give monetary help, while I cannot give you direct service. Is there any particular service I can do? So 2 weeks later, Abhay received a reply from Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I am fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments to the people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. This will do much good to yourself as well as your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher if you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the people in general, as well as philosophers and religionists. So, what Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada actually have done that by preaching this, by establishing this ISKCON society. And in the last letter of Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave some message to all the followers. And this is very important. I'll just read this. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away from the mortal world on January 1st, 1937. He had been spending his last days reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and chanting on his beads. When a doctor had visited him wanting to give him an injection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur protested, why are you disturbing me in this way? Simply chant Hare Krishna, that's all. Amongst his last words to his disciples were, I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa and Raghunath, the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis. You should all work conjointly under the guidance of your spiritual master with the view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. Do not please give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticism and all discomforts. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything, and all neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of God. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree and humbleness like a straw. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever. So this is the last words Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke, and at January 1st, 1937, on this particular auspicious day, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away. And Prabhupada would comment on his appearance day, that the appearance and disappearance of the great souls are actually, there is no difference in them. Just like when a sun sets, it is not the sun has set, it is going to rise. When a sun rises, even if it is setting, it is not going to set always, it is going to rise. Similarly, even though today is disappearance day of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we can pray and celebrate this occasion so that we can advance in our spiritual life. It is said that on the occasion of the appearance day and disappearance day of the Acharyas, by discussing about them, we can imbibe their qualities and we can advance in spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Stop here. Any comments? No. Stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.